All right, children, we want to give just a second for our workers to get out of the choir and to the back. But if you want to kind of make your way to the back, we will send you to Children's Church. And you'll have a great time there praising God and learning more about Him. So we'll dismiss you. Well, January marked the transition to a new president with the inauguration of Donald Trump. Accompanying that transition has also been all kinds of protests. And I'm not preaching a message today about the president or the protests other than to acknowledge the tremendous unrest and division that exists in our nation. As I've watched some of the news coverage of the events, a common theme seems to recur. People are afraid. Protesters seem to be afraid of what the president will do next. Non-protesters are afraid of what the protesters will do next. Everyone seems to be afraid of what the future holds. I think it's safe to say as we begin this new year and a new administration that there's a lot of fear all across our country, across all political parties and all across that political landscape. Because of the divisions that exist in our nation, I believe that the fears would be present regardless of who won the election. They would just be expressed differently. So how do we combat this fear? How do we overcome this general fear that seems to have taken us captive and creating this sense of anxiety that pervades? Well, I want to suggest that we look up instead of just looking around. Now, we need to intentionally cast our gaze upward to the Lord instead of being consumed by the things that we see taking place around us. Our hope and peace does not rest with government or elected officials. Our hope and peace does not rest even with one another. Our hope and peace is found in our awesome God who is still sitting on the throne, who is still working out His intended purpose in our lives. And so instead of focusing all of our attention and energies on what's happening around us, let's take some time to focus our attention and energy on what God is doing above us. Now, when I say that, I'm not suggesting that, you know, we just bury our head in the sand and we're oblivious to the problems that we're facing and the challenges and the obstacles that need to be overcome. What I'm saying is if all we can see are the challenges and the obstacles and the problems, we'll have a skewed perspective. And that's why it is absolutely imperative that we focus our attention upon our awesome God and how He is at work around us. And so to help us do just that, we are starting a series this morning called Awesome God. And over the next several weeks, we will be examining some of the different names that we find in Scripture for God. Because revealed in those names are different aspects of God's character and nature. And we can come to know Him better as we unpack those names that we find for Him in Scripture. And those names reveal some implications for us about how we should view our world and how we should live our lives. Those names reveal different aspects about who God is and what God does. And as we examine those names, we can come to a deeper, better understanding of God, and we can experience more of His grace and peace to overcome the fears and the anxiety confronting us. My prayer for this series is that our vision of God would be increased as we begin to see how incredibly awesome He is, and that as our vision of God increases, our fears and anxiety will decrease. Because our confidence is in our great and mighty God who's able to handle the problems and the challenges that this new year will bring. Now, the desired end result is that we'll know God better and deeper, and we'll be able to experience more of His grace and peace and love in our hearts and lives. So if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed by the events taking place, not just in our nation, but around the world, and you feel like your fear and anxiety level is peaking, then join me over the next several weeks as we take time out to consider what an awesome God we serve. And so let's begin our journey this morning by examining the very first name for God that we encounter in the Bible. Genesis 1:1. And it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, the word God that's used here in Genesis 1:1 is the Hebrew word Elohim. And that word is used almost 2,600 times in the Bible, and it reveals God as our awesome creator. The word Elohim literally means Almighty God, the God of all might and strength, the one with supreme power and intelligence. It reveals God as our powerful creator. So our very first introduction to God in the Bible reveals Him to be a powerful creator. And I want to examine three implications accompanying this revelation of God as our powerful creator. The first implication of this truth that Elohim is our powerful creator is that God is able to make something out of nothing. The word used here in Genesis 1:1 for created is the Hebrew word bara. And the amazing feature about this particular word as it is used in Scripture is that it is always used exclusively with God as its subject. And so the focus is bringing something into existence, not so much a focus on physical matter, it's bringing something new into existence. And so this word is never used in reference to mankind. This word is exclusively used only in reference to God. Only God can create. The word refers to the product created, not the physical matter from which it is made. And while the word here in Genesis does not specifically teach that God created everything from nothing, it is certainly implied in the very meaning of the word. But what is implied here in Genesis 1:1 is affirmed elsewhere and made explicit in God's word, that our powerful creator creates something out of nothing. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible." God is eternal. He has existed before all things, including matter. Elohim reveals His power by creating everything that exists by merely speaking the word. Matter, physical matter, is not eternal. It began when God created the raw materials to form and to fill His creation. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9, affirms this truth about our powerful Creator, that He spoke and it came to be. The psalm writer says, "The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into a heap. He puts the depths into storehouses. Let the whole earth tremble before the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came into being. He commanded, and it came into existence." The literal meaning of the word created refers primarily to God's power revealed in assigning roles and functions to the universe that He is creating. God is not dependent on anyone or on anything to be able to create the heavens and the earth. He didn't need any raw materials. He created those. Elohim, as our powerful creator, has the power necessary to create something out of nothing. Since God is creator of all that exists, He is prior to it, He is distinct from it, but He is also intimately involved with it. In other words, God as Elohim, our powerful creator, is sovereign and Lord over all that He has created. The second implication of this truth that Elohim is our powerful creator is that God brings order out of chaos. Genesis 1:2 declares, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." Now, if the text were going to talk about the manufacture of matter, it would begin when no matter existed. But because it's talking more about bringing the universe into existence by organizing and assigning roles and functions, bringing order to the chaos, then it's logical that it would begin with creation in a chaotic state. That's exactly what our text does. Verse 1 reveals that Elohim created the universe. It's kind of the summary statement of creation. And then we begin to detail the events of that with the days of creation that follow. Verse 2 simply describes what the earth looked like in this early stage of God's creative activity. It also provides an outline for understanding God's creative activity over the next several days of creation. The earth, it says, is formless and empty. That simply means the earth is unshaped and unformed. It's barren and empty. It's desolate and destitute. It is undeveloped and unfinished. It is unfruitful and unproductive at this state of creative activity. Here in verse 2, we discover that the universe was empty of purpose, meaning, and function, a place that at present had no order or intelligibility. We're told that the earth is formless and empty, and that over the days of creation, God will form, and then He will fill His creation. Now, to say that the earth is formless and empty and that it's in a chaotic state does not mean anything sinister or evil, because we're also told that the Spirit of God is present in this chaotic scene. The Spirit of God is present, hovering, we're told, over the surface, watery surface. It reveals that God is present in the midst of the chaos. Verse 2 is not describing the world as being antagonistic to God or being outside of God's control. No, this is a part of God's creative activity, that He is bringing order to the chaos. The word, in fact, translated hovering in reference to God's Spirit means a vibrant moving, a protective hovering. It describes a continual process, not a one-time event. The picture revealed here in our text is of the Spirit of God hovering over the earth, caring for it, protecting it until He's ready to act on its behalf. The Spirit of God is hovering over the earth, ready to launch into the next stage of creative activity, to move and to shape and to form, to make the earth fruitful and productive and habitable for man. The Spirit of God is present and He's working. He is ready to move and create life to live upon the earth that's being created. The Spirit of God is present, bringing order out of the chaos. Isaiah 45:18 says this about God's creative activity. "For this is what the Lord says, God is the creator of the heavens. He formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is no other." God's power is revealed through His creative activity. He is our powerful creator who brings order out of the chaos. The Spirit of God is present in what appears to be chaos to bring structure and order. God is present to form creation and then to fill creation. The third implication of our powerful Creator is that God establishes time. Listen to verses 3, 4, and 5 in Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. Evening came, and then morning, the first day. Now, in verse 5, it says that God called the light day. But as you read through the rest of the creation account, the word day in the rest of the creation account does not refer to light. It refers to a day. So here, it's not the light itself that God's calling the day, but that period of light marking a passing of time. God is creating time. The sun, the moon, the stars to create the light for the heavens are created in day 4. So that's not the light that's created here in these verses. So what is this light? I mean, there's obviously light. God says, "Let there be light," and there is light. What is it? If the sun, the moon, and the stars don't come till later. Well, I believe the light that's being referenced here is that Shekinah glory of God. The light that is the manifestation of God's glory. God's glory is not created here, but it is manifested here to be shining light upon the creative activity of God in this process of creation, creating the heavens and the earth. We read in Revelation 22, verse 5, where John received his vision of a new heaven and a new earth. It says, "Night will no longer exist, and people will not need lamplight or sunlight, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." So we're told in this new heaven, this new earth, that God, he's going to light the way by the glory of his presence. Now, it would seem logical that if God's glory is going to illuminate the holy city in that new creation, that God's glory is also lighting the way in this first creative activity of God, creating the heavens and the earth. Something else about this new heaven and new earth. In that new heaven and new earth, time will be no more. And the very first act, God's creative activity, is this creation of time. An orderly sequence of days. You see, here in these verses, we're not dealing with the creation of the physical matter of the sun and the moon and the stars, but the creation of time by the transition from night to day. So on the first function that God assigns is bringing order out of the chaos is the creation of time, this orderly sequencing from one day to the next. So our first introduction to God in the Bible is as our awesome Creator, Elohim. He is a powerful creator. He makes something out of nothing. He brings order out of chaos. And he creates time. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, "Well, that's great. What does that matter for me? How does that impact my life? What difference does that make in terms of my day-to-day living of life?" Well, I'll tell you why. Because we need a powerful creator. We need Elohim, who has the power to create something out of nothing. Because some marriages have died. I mean, there's nothing there. There's no feeling. There's no sense of hope about building that relationship again. There's no love. There's no feelings. You would describe that relationship as nothing there. Well, we need an Elohim who can create something out of nothing when you're in that kind of situation. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got an estranged relationship with a child or a family member. You're no longer talking together. You know, they've made choices, destructive choices that have taken them further and further away from where God ever intended them to be. And you would describe that relationship as being nothing to build on. Nowhere to go. Nothing that you can do to change it. That's why we need Elohim, this powerful creator who has the power to create something out of nothing. Maybe your heart is broken by that strained relationship, and you need to know that Elohim has the power to bring restoration to that. Maybe you're facing some insurmountable obstacles and nothing has been able to break through and overcome. Well, you need to know that Elohim, our powerful creator, has the power to overcome the obstacles. He has the power to break through. He has the power to make a way when there is no way. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by life and you feel like your life is never going to amount to anything. You're a nothing. You're a zero. You need to know Elohim is our powerful creator, and He can create something out of nothing. He can take your life and make something beautiful there. Elohim. He didn't just create everything in the beginning and then kind of set it in motion and then check out. Our powerful Creator is creating still. He is present. He has the power to bring restoration and healing and create something that doesn't exist. That creative work that we see in the very beginning is continuing today. For some, maybe as you came this morning, you feel like your life is just chaos. Everything feels like it's spinning out of control, and you are powerless to stop the spinning. Drama seems to surround your daily existence. Many feel that sense of chaos regarding the current state of our nation and our world. And maybe this sense of chaos is creating this overriding fear and anxiety that at times can almost be paralyzing. People are afraid about what the future will bring. Well, we need Elohim, our powerful creator, to bring order out of chaos. We need Elohim, who is present in the midst of the chaos, working to calm and to organize and to direct. Our awesome Creator not only created the heavens and the earth in the beginning, but He is continuing His creative activity today. He is at work today to bring order out of the chaos of our lives. He is at work to bring good out of the chaos of our lives. I mean, there are already signs of good things happening, even in the midst of all the chaos and the anxiety and the fear. I would venture to guess you're probably praying more than you were. Because we're worried about the future. I know people have gotten more involved. They've spoken up on issues that are important to their heart that they had never done before. Those are good things. We need a powerful Creator who can bring order to the chaos of our lives. And then we also have an awesome Creator who establishes time, and as such, He is Lord over time. He is not bound by time like you and I are. He is present in every moment of every day for every single person. We experience His presence in the context of time and space. He reveals Himself to us in the context of time. He is at work in our time to accomplish His purpose in the world. History is the unfolding of His purpose, His story. He makes everything beautiful in His time. God, our powerful Creator, is at work in time. Our powerful Creator can give you the power to be faithful to your marriage vows. Our powerful Creator can give you the power to say no to temptation. He has the power to enable you to love your enemies. He has the power to overcome your past. He has the power to enable you to be victorious in life. He has the power to enable you to overcome the problems and the challenges that are standing in your way, maybe seeming like an overwhelming obstacle that you can't overcome. Well, Elohim has the power to see you safely through. Elohim, our powerful Creator, took 6 days to form and to fill the universe. And that says something significant to us today as we gather in His presence. His work in us will not be accomplished in a single day. That's good news. Maybe you feel a little bit discouraged. Maybe you feel like, man, I am just not where I should be spiritually. I should be more spiritually mature. I should be more patient. And maybe you feel overwhelmed and beaten down because you're just not where you think you should be spiritually. Hey, listen, God's not done. He took 6 days to form and fill His creation. We're going to talk more about this next Sunday as we kind of look at part two of this name, Elohim. But I want to tell you today that don't get anxious, don't be discouraged. God's not done with you yet. He is working to form you, to fashion you into the image of His Son so that He can fill you and fill your life with His abundant blessings. So God's working, and He's not done yet. He is at work in the world in the midst of the chaos. Even those times we would look and say, man, what is this world coming to? I don't know, but He does. He's got the end already written. Elohim, our powerful Creator, is at work to produce a Christ-like character in you. And He will be at work doing that from now until the day He welcomes you home or He returns. So don't be overwhelmed by fear and anxiety. Don't be discouraged because maybe you're not where you think you should be. Just let God continue to do His work in you. Because He's making something beautiful in His time. He is at work to create in you a heart like His. Elohim, our powerful Creator, has all the power that you need to see you safely through whatever 2017 will bring. Let's pray.